Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you so much for your loving care that before the foundations of the world, you had a plan. And that plan has been consistently sought out. And you sent your son at just the right time, just the appropriate time. And we have the history and the reality, Father, of God born in the flesh to actually live amongst us, to walk amongst us, to talk and to teach and to lead, and with a mission still at hand to provide a way of redemption for all that would put their faith in your Son as their Messiah, as their deliverer, as their Savior from the penalty of sin. We thank you so much for the relationship that we each have with you because of our faith in Jesus. We're thankful, Father, that that relationship is eternal and that that relationship will never, ever, ever end. And that you are our Heavenly Father, that through your Son, you provided a way that we could be adopted as your sons and your daughters and forever. What a beyond word description of magnificent. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you help us to love you more, to praise you more, to walk closer with you, to seek opportunities to reflect you and your name, to lift up the name of Jesus, to celebrate the birth of our Savior, to teach our children, grandchildren, about the truth of the gospel. And I do pray, Father, please, that you will be glorified. Now, Father, in this message, I pray that you will accomplish all that you have to do. I thank you, Father, for it. I look to you to preach it, to carry it, to touch our hearts with it, and to magnify your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout time, new royalty like Prince George, you know, we saw that. Years ago, we saw even the new king or the emperor of China as well, years ago on TV. But throughout time, new royalty, monarchs, and emperors' births have been announced to other royal members, world leaders, court officials, aristocracy, and famous people. Yet the King of Kings was announced to just the opposite. God sent his messengers to announce his son's birth to the lowly. We see people in the world today that have high ranks and high authority and high positions that are focused on by the world. And their births are announced, and it's a great privilege. But the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty, didn't go through the monarchs of society or the kings of the world or the most loftiest of places. The announcement was made to the lowly. And I love that. Because you know what that tells me? It tells me that no matter how we view ourselves or how others view us, that God can do what he wants to reveal himself to anybody, at any time, at any place, in any circumstance. How wonderful is that? That God chooses to reveal himself to us. I want to look at the passage of scripture in Luke 2, 9 through 20 of the shepherds. And we're going to talk about the shepherds just a little bit. But let's read this. It says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." Can you imagine being shepherds out in the, you go out in the country with no street lights and there's no city lights, there's no lights of any kind, and it's black out there, the sky is crystal clear, the stars are bright and shining, the shepherds are there taking care of the sheep, and the sky opens up with this host of angels. I was thinking about that a little bit. I was thinking about the fact that usually Gabriel makes the great announcements. You know, he made it to Zacharias and he made it to Mary. In their circumstances, unprepared, unrealizing that God was going to cut in and to reveal into himself into their lives at that moment. And yet, when the shepherds were in the field, the angels, of course, I can imagine on the other side in heaven, that in all the legions of angels, that God chose a selection of angels to go and make the announcement of what was to be, what was planned before the world was even created. Wow. And they were the lucky ones, the blessed ones. They got to go and sing about this newborn king. And the sky opened up. But shepherds were not popular people. I was reading one commentary and it said, shepherds are the type of guys that a father would not want their daughter to date. Does that put that in perspective? You know, just not a really good character. They're not really known as being the best of people. They were actually, right or wrong, were thought of as being thieving, conniving as well. And yet we see in our manger scenes the shepherds out there. We see, you know, how sweet or how gentle they must be or appear to be, and yet that wasn't the character. And yet we know Moses was a shepherd, and we know David was a shepherd, and God intervened in their lives in very distinct, direct ways to draw them to him and his will. And so the shepherds are out in the field, and the sky opens up, and the angels proclaim the birth of the Savior, the greatest event of all time, before or ever yet. To happen, the greatest event of all, God chose to go to those that were not socially accepted, that were not, the prime crop, that were not respected, that were not socially or religiously acknowledged because they didn't have time to go to church, they didn't have, or go to the synagogue, they didn't have time to participate in the celebration or all the different things that they needed to do to keep themselves quote unquote clean. Right with God. And yet God looked at them and he said, I'm going to reveal myself to them. And in this message, I want you and I and myself to remember that no matter where we are in our perspective of ourselves, God chose to reveal himself to us. If you're a Christian, he chose to intervene and interject himself and place himself in front of you, in front of me, to know him. And as we follow him, he sometimes interrupts our lives and our thinking and our focus and that we can get to know him and see him as well. And so they were afraid. I would be afraid. Something phenomenal is happening here. It's against physics. The sky is opening up. Never seen the sky open up like a curtain, and the seam in the curtain, it just opens up, and that dimension of heaven is revealed, and the angels are proclaiming the wonderful birth of a Savior, and they're afraid, rightly so. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." And if you go back, you remember Zacharias, you remember Mary, that the angel was made sure to tell them, don't be afraid. So I think it's a normal thing to react in fear when you see an angel that's real in front of you all of a sudden. I mean, if that happened to us, I think we'd be in the same position. And I think we would hear the angel say to us, don't be afraid. And that Holy Spirit comfort of the peace of God would just come over us. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. It was first to Israel. It was then also to the world, that all people would have the privilege of having a right relationship with God, that all people would have the privilege of becoming adopted by faith in Christ as children of God, that you can have a relationship with Jesus that's real, a relationship with God who's eternal, a relationship that is outside of the domain of this world, yet inside the domain of our hearts as we follow him. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. You know what I like about that? As the proclamation was being made to the shepherds, they didn't know that already that it was being foretold that they were going to go somewhere and find something. He's already saying, it's a fact. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you, for you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Now, the shepherds were familiar with mangers. And so that was an identification mark. That was unusual to put the baby in a manger, right? And by the way, manger, I was reading something I learned new about mangers. You know, you've heard me say the manger is like a cave, not the wooden structure we see built. But in some ways, what I was reading was that sometimes these mangers were just small little areas hewn out of limestone So they really looked more like a tomb. And he's laid in the manger. And it was a prefigured type or picture of here's the newborn king, God in the flesh, and what looks like a tomb setting laying in this manger as a picture of one day him being laid in the tomb for you and I. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying. So the proclamation was made, and the angel started praising God and singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. All things for the glory of God. Peace on earth. The world will not see peace outside of a right relationship with God. Amen. Period. They may have a temporary peace. They may have a temporary joy. They may think that they've got it in control and can take care of things. But the truth is, we will not have peace unless our heart relationship is right with God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. See, the shepherds out there in the field, and they see these angels up in heaven. That's phenomenal in itself. And then they're afraid, and they think, well, they got the bad rap in society already, so are you gonna do something bad to us? You know, is a type of thinking. And they say, don't be afraid, I got great news to tell you. Me? You're talking about shepherds. Grimy, dirty, some to be known as thieving, unsociable, unclean people. You're going to reveal yourself to me? That's how God works. And I love that. Since when can we think that we're ever good enough for God to reveal himself to us? So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Now, you may not realize it, but that was a huge step of faith. Why? Because they had to leave the sheep. They were shepherds. And they were a few miles outside of Bethlehem. They had to trust that God would take care of the flock as they responded in obedience and faith in response to the word of God that's proclaimed by an angelic host in the sky that opened up, revealing a glimpse of heaven, telling them that this is a great and awesome day, the greatest day of all time or ever will be, that the Son of God has been born. And they said, we got to go see this thing. We got to go check this out. We got to go. Almost say, I'm almost in a state of disbelief. I know it happened. I know it's real, but it's surreal. Absolutely, without question, a surreal event for them. Not normal. And then they're going to say, now let's go check it out and see. And that confirmation. And they trusted God to take care of the flock. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known. Confession. For as I was studying this, I'm in my office and I'm studying and I'm looking at that word. For some reason, it registered wildly. I said, oh, I got to look that up in the Greek and see what that means. That's got to be a real neat word to study, you know, and your word study. And I was reading it this morning. It says widely, but I like wildly, too, because I can imagine that when they saw this newborn king, when they saw the proof of what was proclaimed to them by angels on high, that it was a wild event for them, right? And that they widely went out with great joy declaring what had happened. They didn't keep quiet about that. And so now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Would you marvel? Absolutely. Do you marvel over Jesus? As I was studying this, that question was posed to me. In our Christmas holiday, in our time of festivities and gifts and all the stuff that's included in Christmas, do we as his children, his adopted children, still marvel over him? Or we need to. Because it's the most wonderful gift, most incredible event, the incarnation of Christ, that man has or will ever know, is the birth of Christ. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Pondering doesn't mean I'm just going to keep it quiet to myself. It means she's taking the pieces of the puzzle and putting them together. Well, I know what Gabriel told me, that I was going to have a child and we would name him Jesus. I know that my cousin had a baby at an old age. And I know that John foretold and was the forerunner of the Messiah, my son Jesus, coming into the world. I know that now the shepherds are telling me that angels appeared out of heaven and proclaimed the great birth of the Savior of the world for all people. You can bet that she pondered putting the pieces together. This is beyond incredible, but still true. When the shepherds returned, then the shepherds returned. How'd they return? Oh, that's over. I'll just go get something to eat. No. It said, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. My mind's eye was that when they left that manger, they were running, leaping, jumping, praising, exclaiming the glory of God, and telling everybody that they could come into. We saw, can you imagine people in Bethlehem going, you know? We saw angels, the sky up, they're not respected at all. But we had angels reveal it, go over there and find the baby and discover for yourself. They marveled to see the thing come to pass. We should marvel at the wonder of the power and the grace and the love of God in our lives and the purpose that he calls each of us to do in him. We should be moved. They went to Bethlehem. They took that action. We should be moved to respond as God leads us to. And we should be that messenger. Make widely, not wildly, known. I was watching Stanley last night. Kathy and I were watching Charles Stanley a little bit. And he was saying, you know, when he was growing up, you know, it was just Christmas. And then it started being Xmas. And then Christians didn't really say much about that. And it became established Xmas. And gradually the erosion, this is not his word, but this is what he was saying, the erosion of the focus of Jesus was taking place through the celebration of his birth at Christmas time. So what's our obligation? What's our responsibility as believers? That we make it known. We have a tradition in our home that we read the Christmas story. I was trying to find, I think it's in Ephesians 1, it talks about the adoption. That he came and his birth was made. He went to the cross. We know the story. But he came that we might know him through adoption. Our faith in him being adopted into his family forever. And we should be reading the story and taking that into account and telling our children and saying Jesus as often as we can, referring to Christ and his wonder and Christmas. Take the opportunity to represent, like we've seen so many times, the saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. The shepherds were lowly. Meaning they're not highly exalted. They're not royalty. They're not aristocratic. They're not even common people. They were below common people. But God gave them the gift of the announcement. again, I can't reiterate enough how much that reflects God's love. I know who you are. I know how you view yourself, but I want to reveal myself to you. And I believe that's true today in our own lives. Then the angel said to him in Luke 2, 10 and 11, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there was born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. They were social outcasts. They were untrusted, religiously unclean, unacceptable, and yet God spoke to them. But I want to read that verse in another type of translation with some comments interjected as we read the verse. So listen to this. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, I bring you good news. Not bad news, not judgment, not condemnation. Adding that. Of great joy. Not news of fear or intimidation or sarcasm. Added that. That will be for all the people. Even you, no special treatment with God. Today, in the town of David, a shepherd, once just like you, a Savior, has been born to you, to us. God has given something to us. God has given something to us? He is Messiah, the Lord. I mean, God intervened in our life and made himself known to us when he knocked on the door in our heart in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We didn't knock on his door. He knocked on our door with the truth. How do you view the lowly? I want us to remember that we're so much the lowly, if you will. Let's look at this in verses. In 1 Corinthians 1, 20 through 21, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. We are confident in our own ways and the ways of the world, but the gospel's presented. It sounds like foolishness to some, but praise God, the Holy Spirit was working on our heart clear enough that we were willing to listen to what he said when he said that this is truth. In 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29, it says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. God made himself known to you and I. We celebrate the birth, entered the world, but we're like those shepherds in a way. Ordinary people with maybe not... We don't know where all of our positions are in our own lives and how we view ourselves and how we don't you sometimes feel like you know you're lonely or you're not really we look at ourselves and we go, I'm not worthy to know God, or I'm not worthy to be called of God, I'm not worthy to be used of God, I'm not worthy for God to speak to me, these type of things. But God always reminds me with a great comeback. He says, when were you worthy? Never. So I want to read to you, if you will, if you just allow me this, because I know what it's like to be read to, but I want to read to you this story and then we're close. We were the only family with children in the restaurant. I sat Eric, it's a little kid, in a high chair, hopefully, and noticed everyone was quietly eating and drinking. Suddenly, Eric squealed with glee and said, hi there. He wiggled and giggled with merriment at a man with a tattered rag of a coat, dirty, greasy, and worn. His pants were baggy with a zipper at half-mast, and his toes poked of would-be shoes. His shirt was dirty, and his hair was uncombed and unwashed. His whiskers were not quite a beard, and varicose charted a complex map across his nose. We were too far to smell him, but I'm sure he smelled. His hands waved at my baby. "Hi there, baby. Hi there, big boy. I see you, Buster." The man said to Eric, my husband and I didn't know what to do. Eric continued to laugh and answer, "Hi, hi there." Our meal finally came, and the drunken geezer began shouting across the room, "Do you know patty cake? Do you know peekaboo? Hey, look, he knows peekaboo." No one thought the old man was cute. My husband and I were embarrassed. Eric, on the other hand, was running through his repertoire of tricks, all of which were admired by the bum. We finally got through the meal. My husband went to pay, and I headed for the door. The old man was poised between me and the door. I uttered a prayer, "Lord, just let me out of here before he speaks to me or Eric." As I drew close, I turned my back, trying to sidestep him and avoid any air he might be breathing. As I did, Eric leaned over my arm, reaching with both arms in a baby's pick-me-up position. Before I could stop him, Eric had propelled himself from my arms to the man's. Eric, in an act of total trust, love, and submission, laid his tiny head upon the man's ragged shoulder. The man's eyes closed, and I saw tears hover beneath his lashes. His aged hands, full of grime, pain, and hard labor, gently, so gently, cradled my baby's bottom and stroked his back. The old man rocked and cradled Eric in his arms for a moment, and then his eyes opened and set squarely on mine. He said in a firm, commanding voice, "You take care of this baby." Somehow I managed, "I will," from a throat that contained a stone. I received my baby, and the man said, "God bless you, ma'am. You've given me my Christmas gift." I ran to the car. My husband wondered why I was crying and saying, my God, forgive me." The ragged old man unwittingly had reminded me, to enter the kingdom of God, we must become as little children. I thought that was appropriate. God intervened and revealed the greatest story and gift to shepherds that were rejected. And you and I need to remember to share God's love with those that are overlooked and rejected. We fall into that. I know I have at times where I feel like that's out of my zone. That's out of my box. That's really pushing the envelope. That's really uncomfortable. But God wants us to show His love to everybody. And I have to say, this church does that. No matter who walks through these doors, God shows love to them through you. And He's glorified. And so keep up that good work and praise God for the marvelous gift that He's given. God calls, blesses, and exalts the overlooked with the loving gift of His Son. Let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you for each one here. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you again, Father, for the worship and the music and the specials and the instruments and the talents and all those things that brought our hearts and eyes and spirit to focus on you. I do pray, Father, please, that as we go through this season celebrating your birth, that indeed our spirit, our own heart, will worship you, will lift you up, will focus on you, will honor you, will speak of you, will acknowledge you in a way, Father, that glorifies you, not only in our personal lives, but in our homes, amongst our family, and in our communities. And I pray, Father, please, that you honor this. Glorify your Son. Thank you so, so much Father, I can't imagine what life would be like without knowing you. You are our Father, our Heavenly Father. How awesome is that through faith in your Son? We praise you and we thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.